Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Sports Overnight America here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. We are brought to you by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. $10,000 towards your closing costs at rocketmortgage.com. Happy Monday, my friends. What an absolutely insane weekend of football we had. Crazy Premier League action as well, which we'll chat about on Friday. But for now, we have Giovanna Scroggins coming up next with us. She was live at the Texas A&M matchup. Got some great interviews with Contravian Wisner, who had a career day, and Coach Steve Sarkisian. We'll talk with Nick Douglas, 40 past the hour, just in general about this insane college football weekend that we had. We'll do some NFL talk as well. I want to open up with this real quick because it's something that is controversial for some reason over the weekend with this flag planting in college football. If you pay attention at all, you've seen, it was rivalry week. Teams were beating teams and sticking their flag in the middle of the field. Apparently, it caused a huge ruckus, most notably in the Michigan-Ohio State game after Michigan, for the fourth year in a row, took down Ohio State. There was huge fights. Police were spraying players with pepper spray. It was just insane to me. And I'm going to dive really deep into this after the first break. Before we go into the NFL stuff, just because it's really bothering me how it was handled, just the general reactions to everything that we saw go down. Really unfortunate. And how about that Josh Allen play? We're going to talk about this game in depth, but throwing the ball to Amari Cooper, gets pitched back to him, he runs in. What a fun game of football last night. It just felt right. A snowy game in Buffalo. Unfortunate for the Niners fans, Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason out for the season on IR. But we're going to dive all into this here on Sports Overnight America coming up next. It's just an unbelievable time to be alive. So much sports going on, so much action, so much to talk about. And I'm going to give myself a little bit of a shout out here. I was all over the Eagles +3 if you listened last week at all. And they took care of business in Baltimore. Saquon Barkley on pace to break the single season rushing record. We'll cover that and a whole lot more here coming up on Sports Overnight America. Don't move. We'll be right back. A lot of roadblocks. I got a new route, and I'm about buckets. Yeah, shootouts. Switch. If you weren't with me in the gym, ain't no need to double back. Don't even trip. Get with the program. Walk and play like a slow jam. This ain't regular, regular. I ain't nothing that you settle for. No. Nice try, wrong.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline Broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there. Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Happy Monday to those who are listening. I know we're all just unwinding after an unbelievable weekend of college football and NFL. Let's get her in here. Giovanna Scroggins, who was live at the Texas A&M game at Kyle Field. Giovanna, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tyler?
I am doing great. How about that game, huh? I was worried about Texas going into this game, and they took care of business. It's not the prettiest scoreline. They only put up 17, but on the road in that environment, which is obviously one of the most difficult places to play, it seems like they did a great job. They held them to 7 points in their own field. And we have some clips with you speaking with Quintrevion Wisner about his career day and Steve Sarkisian and what lies ahead facing Georgia in the SEC championship game. Before we go into your feedback on the game and all that, let's tune in and listen in.
You know, something Coach Toy tells me, whenever I got the ball in my hand, I'm not just running for myself. I'm running for my family's livelihood. I'm running for my teammates' livelihood, the whole program's livelihood. So, you know, whenever I just have the ball, I know I got to get to a destination. I'm going to get there no matter what it takes.
Well, all in all, it's a great way to end kind of the regular season. This is where we wanted to be. We knew when we had the slip-up earlier in the season that we'd have to win out to get back to a championship game, and we've earned that right. And we're playing a heck of an opponent. As we all know, Georgia's a great team, and we're going to have to prepare really well to try to come out on top.
All right. Welcome back, Giovanna. First of all, I'd love to hear what Wisner had to say. After a career day, to hear somebody talking about how Coach instills into them that he's not just running for himself out there, he's running for his teammates. Well, he did a great job for himself. 33 carries, 186 yards, 2 catches for 21 yards. Essentially, give or take a couple yards, 200-plus total yards of offense, excuse me. Arch Manning had a rushing touchdown. What was your takeaway from this game and for Texas in general moving forward as they face off against a Georgia team that not too long ago absolutely stomped them in their own house?
Yeah, I mean, you said it in the beginning. Texas was not the favorite to win this game. Going into Kyle Field was my first time in College Station. That is a tough environment to play in. It is very, very loud. And for Wisner to have that awesome career day and rushing the ball, that was amazing. And to put this into perspective, at almost near halftime, Texas had 90 rushing yards. A&M had 45. That alone just tells you how much the Longhorns are moving the ball versus A&M. And I think that was ultimately the A&M's despise and how they didn't really come out on top in this game. They really couldn't get any offense going. Obviously, that final score shows that. But it was really interesting just to watch how the Longhorns move the ball. I think they're going to have to move the ball a little bit more when it comes to playing Georgia. But, I mean, obviously we saw Georgia almost get beat by a completely unranked team. So that SEC title game is going to be one to watch. I am looking forward to that. But kind of going back to this game in Kyle Field, like I said, that is a tough environment for the Longhorns to go in. And I think they handled business and you know, did their thing. They're going to have a lot to improve on going into the next game. But good on them.
Looking back at their last matchup against Georgia, as a team, they had a total, and I had to check this three times, 29 total rushing yards. That accounts for negative 34 rushing yards for Quinn Ewers, which is, you know, all sacks and broken plays and stuff. If we just look at Wisner, who was the lead back in that game as well, 52 yards rushing on 15 carries. So, you know, an average of 3.5 yards per carry, which isn't terrible, but it's not great. They got absolutely smoked in this game. It was 30-15. What has changed for you? And, you know, looking at this next matchup, we just saw it. Georgia just played an 8-overtime game against Georgia Tech, which was an unbelievable game for those who didn't get to watch. Which is, you know, that can be tiring on a team, especially it's not like they're getting, you know, a ton of extra rest here. You know, looking ahead at this game, do you expect Georgia to just utterly dominate Texas again? Or are you expecting things to be a lot more even now that they've played each other? They got to feel each other out. Quinn Ewers was not good in their first matchup. The Georgia defense was absolutely outstanding. But do you see Texas maybe taking, you know, a play out of Georgia Tech's playbook and how they played Georgia and how they were able to run their offense and play defense well? You know, what's your takeaway moving forward, and what do you expect out of this SEC championship game?
Oh, for sure. I think Texas is going to be a little bit more prepared to go against this opponent. And, you know, Georgia is second in the SEC. Texas is number one, and I think there's a reason behind that. Going into this game, I think the Longhorns have a little bit more figured out in terms of how they operate their offense. I know they have packages with Arch Manning, and I know they have, like, certain plays. Obviously, like you mentioned before, Arch had that, you know, rushing touchdown early in the game versus Texas A&M. So I think they have different packages, and obviously they're going to utilize their running backs and all that kind of stuff. Going into the Georgia game, in this rematch, they're going to be able to have a little bit more confidence of how they need to play this Georgia team. Obviously, Georgia, they have suffered some losses. There's been some games that they haven't really played a lot of football, Georgia Tech being one of them. Early in that game, the first couple quarters, they didn't really put up a lot of points. Their offense wasn't looking the way it should have been. So I think Texas is going to be able to expose that a little more, and I think we're going to see this Georgia team, you know, be weak. However, I do think it's going to be a close matchup. I don't think it's going to be a blowout on either side of the ball. I think both teams are going to have to come in and fight for, you know, what they want and what they really just win.
For me, what's going to determine that matchup is which quarterback will have the fewer turnovers. Because we saw in this game, although Texas won and it wasn't necessarily a sweat, Ewers did have an interception, and he had a costly fumble at a time where if Texas A&M were to be able to convert that, you know, it could be a very different game and a different outcome. And obviously, Carson Beck has had his struggles with turning the ball over this season. So I think for me, comes down to this and this only. Whoever has the least amount of turnovers and plays a cleaner brand of football on that particular day wins this game. Let's shift over to a little bit of NFL before we say goodbye to you. Crazy weekend. Just an utterly insane weekend from the Friday, Black Friday game where the Chiefs narrowly hung on after the Raiders. I mean, that was just an insane way to lose a football game. To what we saw last night with the Niners losing both their running backs. It looks like Christian McCaffrey's out for the season. Jordan Mason is on IR as well. We'll see when he returns. To the Eagles going into Baltimore, and we both said this, that we felt really good about the Eagles and kind of not dominating the Ravens, but you know, they held their own and they ran all over them. I want to start there. What's your takeaway from this? Is it more that the Eagles are right up there with the Lions and, you know, need to be in the conversation for best team in the NFL? Or is it that the Ravens have a kicker who is probably, you know, it's not really hard to say that he's the best kicker of all time, that is really, really struggling right now, and ultimately that costs them the game when you look at this score line. Where are you leaning more? Is it the Ravens are really in trouble with their kicking situation, or the Eagles are just that much better and really need to be in these conversations for best team in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, kickers across the league have been subpar at most this season. I mean, I being in Dallas, Brandon Aubrey is probably one of the only consistent players in the Cowboys offense that I rely on, and even he's been inconsistent. So I think when we look at kickers, that can be, you know, a little bit of a different conversation. However, when we look at this Eagles team, I'm not sold on them being behind the Lions. I'm quite frankly, I am not sold. Jalen Hurts is still a little bit suspect to me. He only threw in 118 yards in that game. And when you look at some of the other quarterbacks and, you know, really hot offenses, I mean, Lamar Jackson still had 237 yards in that game. So, you know, he's throwing more. But Jalen Hurts just has a ridiculous weapon on his team at Saquon Barkley. So he's getting the touches, he's getting the ball downfield, and then, you know, you can throw it to A.J. Brown, you can throw it to Dallas or whoever and get the job done. Obviously, in that game, Eagles are still missing Devonta Smith. I think that is a key part of their offense that they have not been utilizing, and he's also been out. So with him back in the mix, what does that team look like? But I'm not really sold on the Eagles right now, and I don't think they should be labeled as, like, the second most hottest team under the Lions. I don't really like that storyline because I'm still the verdict's out for me with the Eagles.
I agree. I'm totally on board. I'm not ready to just give them the crown and say, hey, look, Lions, watch out. And it's just, it's alarming for me because you think about it. First of all, there's five fumbles in this game and not one of them was recovered by the opposing team, which is, that has to be a first. Second of all, when you factor in the fact that there are 7 points that are missed, Justin Tucker missed two field goals and an extra point. That's the game. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. That's the, the Ravens win if they play clean on that end. So, it's very interesting. All right, up next, we're going to do some more NFL talk with me, Giovanna. Thank you so much for joining in with us. It is always a pleasure. We'll be right back on Sports Overnight America. Stay right where you are.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered, so why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, 1/3 of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And 1/3 of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand? Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are heard on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and globally on the American Forces Radio Network. Before we get into some NFL, I got to get something off my chest. I just have to. As we all saw, for the fourth year in a row, Michigan beat Ohio State. An unranked Michigan team beat the number two team in the country, Ohio State, in their house, 13-10. For those who've been following, I am a huge Michigan fan. I'm not talking about this game to mention the fact that it is the first time that an unranked Michigan team has beaten Ohio State, a ranked Ohio State, since 1993. I'm not talking about it to discuss that it is the fifth time in their history that an unranked Michigan team has beaten Ohio State. I'm not here to talk about the fact that Ryan Day is a completely incompetent coach and that he has lost this game 4 years in a row, or that Ohio State will most definitely be moving on from Ryan Day as their head coach. What I would like to talk about in this game is the unfortunate circumstances that went down after the game. For those who don't know, Michigan, they win the game, they go to midfield with their flag, they do the old, oh, we're going to plant the flag in your field thing, which has been going on for quite some time. Most notably, we all look back and think about Baker Mayfield. He did it a ton. He did it at Ohio State. It was never a problem. They asked Baker about it in his press conference yesterday, and he was confused by the whole thing as well. He said, look, take your L. You know, it's going to happen. It's a rivalry game. I don't see what the big deal is, and neither do I. Why are people making such a big deal about the fact that in a rivalry game, they go and they put their flag in the middle of the field? I feel like that's been going on forever. And the fact that this went down this way, and that police are spraying pepper spray, and that everyone's fighting is just insane to me. You want to prevent your opponent and your rival from putting their flag in the middle of your field? You know what you can do? Here's an idea. Win the game. Other than that, shut up, walk off the field, and deal with it. It was pathetic watching the Ohio State players freaking out. Oh, they're not going to plant their field on our flag. Screw them. Wah, wah, wah. And the whole time you see Ryan Day standing there. And if you watch, you can find the snippet online. He's standing there with his hands in his pocket, looking all sad and sorry that he can't win the big game, the only game that really matters. And just calling it for how it is right now, it couldn't come at a worse time for him to lose this game. And he looks at his assistant coach and says, what happened? What an absolute loser. What a lack of leadership displayed. You're telling me that you're going to watch this all go down? Your players are fighting. Mind you, thankfully, and I'm not here to, you know, hope Ohio State does well, but thankfully none of their players are suspended. Are you not smart enough or in tune enough or focused enough to think about the fact that this isn't impacting your playoff implications? You're still going to be in the college football playoff. It's very reasonable to think that players could have been suspended. So are you just going to sit there as the coach, the leader of men, the leader of this team, and watch this all go down and not do anything about it? That is crazy to me. And there is, I mean, where does Ohio State go from here? How do you bring this guy back? He's an offensive coach. You put 10 points up at home against a god-awful Michigan team, a terrible Michigan team. The fact that they won this game was insane to me. It was surprising. I didn't expect it. It warmed my heart. But just an ugly situation all around. And the sad thing is it wasn't the only post-game antics that we saw around the country. We saw it in the Florida State-Florida game. We saw it in, I think it was the North Carolina State game as well. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, it's been going on forever enough. If you don't lose the game and they won't put the flag in the middle of the field. Other than that, deal with it. Stop crying. Grow up. Enough of that. Just some crazy college football stuff that went on this weekend. We're going to chat more about it at 40 past the hour with Nick Douglas. Let's shift gears back to the NFL because it was equally as crazy of a weekend in the NFL. For me, the Friday game, the Chiefs, we spoke about it a little bit, and I'll be brief with this one before we go into what happened yesterday. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 19-17. Raiders are officially eliminated from playoff contention. The Chiefs are 11-1. They're sitting at the top of the AFC. But I can't help but be a little concerned for them. They are not exactly winning games convincingly. They beat the Raiders, who are terrible, by two. They beat the Panthers, who are terrible but frisky after their game last night. They're frisky by three. They lost to the Bills in pretty much their only, for me, real meaningful game of the season outside of the Ravens in week one. And, you know, they've kind of just been sneaking by. Beat the Broncos by two, the Bucks by six, the Raiders in their first matchup by seven. Like, look, a win is a win. They're 11-1. I'm not saying that the Chiefs aren't going to be in contention in the playoffs. They usually turn it around that time. But I am concerned about what's happening and the fact that it's like they have voodoo magic. Like, how they're winning these games. The Raiders had this wrapped up. It was done. All they have to do is pretty much take a knee, kick the field goal, and that's it. And Aiden O'Connell isn't looking when they snap the ball. It gets fumbled. Chiefs recover. Game over. Some other crazy, crazy results around the league. For me, this Cardinals-Vikings game was funny, man. I had the Vikings dead to rights, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they find a way to make it happen. The Cardinals are 6-6. I still think they're having a relatively good season per expectations at the beginning of the season. But looking at the Vikings, let's just pull up these NFL standings. For those who are not aware, they are tied. There's been a lot of talk about these Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, they're up next. They're right in there with the Lions. They got the same record as the Vikings. The Vikings are right now 10-2. More than in playoff contention. They'll probably have a home game, and they have a pretty easy schedule coming in outside of their last two games. They play the Falcons at home, the Bears at home. They go on the road to play a bad Seahawks team. They got the Packers at home, and then they finish up in Detroit. So as a Vikings fan, you got to be happy. I mean, just an unbelievable season thus far. Very similar to the Chiefs in a sense of they seem to just find a way to get it done. We remember the Kirk Cousins team a couple years ago. You know, they were just rattling off win after win after win in situations where it seems like it only made sense that they would lose. And here they are on five straight wins in the NFL, and they are just playing unbelievable football right now. Sam Darnold, what a great story for him. Cowboys, they found a way to sneak by the Giants, which didn't exactly surprise me. Not sneak by, they blew them out, but, you know, the scoreline reflected otherwise. Steelers, Bengals. Bengals fall to 4-8. I mean, who had that on their bingo card at the beginning of the season? Joe Burrow in his post-game press conference talking about they're going to really figure out who they can rely on, who they can't in the coming weeks. This final score, Pittsburgh 44, Bengals 38. Fun fact, not so fun fact, I was a Bengals money line away from hitting an 11-team parlay, which really broke my heart. $50 for, I think it was like 28 grand or something like that. So the Bengals kind of broke my heart in this game. I got to give a shout out to Russell Wilson, though. This guy was the laughingstock of the NFL for the last two seasons. He was a walking meme. Everyone thought he was washed. I mean, just calling it for what it is, there were a lot of people a couple weeks back when Justin Fields was still the starter saying to leave Fields in. He threw for 414 yards, three touchdowns, and had one pick. So, I mean, the Steelers are kind of ticking right now. They're 9-3. They're 5-2 in road games. On the flip side, the Bengals are 1-5 in home games, which is just so, so, so sad. Najee Harris had a great day as well. I'm pulling it up right now. He had 75 yards on 16 carries with a touchdown. You know, just receiving George Pickens. If this guy could stop getting these insane flags or just acting like a complete buffoon and grow up, he had three catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. Freiermuth, 68 yards and a touchdown. And Calvin Austin, this guy was just getting bodied. He had a touchdown as well. So Steelers are in a great position. I don't really know where the Bengals go from here because I don't think it's a coaching issue. Like, I don't think Zach Taylor is a bad coach. But on the other side of this, I mean, that's usually what happens in these situations when things are kind of falling apart. And they obviously have the Ja'Marr Chase situation to deal with. It's the fact that they're playing this well offensively and can't buy a win is very concerning. I mean, they're playing an unbelievable brand of offensive football, and they can't buy a win. You know, speaking of not being able to buy a win, New York Jets, they fall to 3-9. They were up in this game 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. The Seahawks were all over the place. Their special teams were a joke. There were multiple occasions where Aaron Rodgers overthrew Garrett Wilson. Most notably, he was wide open in the end zone. There were a couple Davante Adams drops. Another organization where you just think to yourself, where do they go from here? Because I remember, and I know you remember, a couple years ago, they get Rodgers, and everyone's thinking Super Bowl. Obviously, him going down on like the fourth play of the season last year was not in the playbook for them, and you can't really, you know, take anything away from the fact that that happened. But Rodgers has been saying all year he's as healthy as he's ever been. He's felt great. And, you know, losing 26-21 at home to the Seahawks is concerning. And they didn't even score a single point in the second half of this game, which is just utterly embarrassing. Commanders absolutely steamrolled the Titans 42-19. This was a beating. It was ugly from the start. Commanders pretty much had this one wrapped up in the first quarter. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. It's just insane from them. Texans barely sneak by the Jaguars. The real storyline of that is Trevor Lawrence getting absolutely his head cleaned off his shoulders. It's just a terrible, dirty, dirty hit led to a brawl. Texans do survive, however. We'll get into a little bit more of the NFL in the two-minute drill. Up next, we're bringing in Nick Douglas to chat college football, the crazy weekend that we saw, the rankings, the playoff picture, and a whole lot more. Don't move. We're going to be right back here on Sports Overnight America, brought to you by Sports Byline USA. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Don't move. We'll be right back.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today. InnovativeWellness.center. InnovativeWellness.center. And use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, and with us, Nick Douglas, chats college football. Nick, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing all right. Tyler, how are you today?
I am doing good, my friend. Just an unbelievable Monday. Just what a crazy weekend of sports in general. I don't know if you were listening in. I just ranted about this whole planting the flag in the middle of the field debacle and how absolutely insane it is to me that guys are getting upset about it when it's been going on forever. And there's a very simple way to prevent it from happening, and it's by winning the game. And that's it. But enough of that. I just want to dig in to the crazy weekend that we had from the Friday night game, Georgia Tech, 8 overtimes, I believe it was. Final score 44-42 Georgia. Just some crazy upsets. Michigan beating Ohio State. Texas taking care of business. Miami losing to Syracuse. It was just insane. So I'll leave it to you. Where do you want to start? What's got the hairs in the back of your neck up a little bit, and what are you most excited for?
So to be honest with you, Tyler, you know, I think conference championship weekend will be exciting, but what's got me all twisted up is these last few spots in the playoff. The fact that, you know, we've got three-loss SEC teams that are deserving, and I've said it all year, that you're going to have 15 to 20 teams that can stake their claim and have it make sense. We can all agree that South Carolina is one of the hottest teams in the country right now. We can all agree that Ole Miss has the resume. They've beaten South Carolina. If South Carolina is going to be in the mix, they deserve to be up there, as does Alabama. But Alabama and Ole Miss both have really bad losses, especially late in the season. But here's what I don't understand, and I don't think enough people are talking about this. Boise State and UNLV are playing for an automatic bid. Arizona State and Iowa State are playing for an automatic bid. There's one team in that four-team group that deserves a spot in the playoffs, and that is Boise State.
Yep.
Arizona State has lost to a 5-7 Cincinnati and an 8-4 Texas Tech. UNLV has two losses in the Mountain West, and any two-loss Power 4 team should have the opportunity for what is becoming a play-in game over UNLV. So that, to me, just it blows my mind, and it's a colossal mistake, and it's going to prove to be so until it gets revised, where you've got teams that are undeserving that have a path to a serious contending spot over teams that have played gauntlets of schedules that aren't going to get that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally on board with you here. We've spoke about it in depth over the last couple of weeks. It simply comes down to the fact that they need to get rid of these conference championship games or expand to a 16-team playoff where there is no buys, which there shouldn't be buys to begin with. It should just be 1 through 16, and 1 plays 16, and 2 plays 15, like we have in March Madness. It's black and white. The way I look at this is, the college football playoff is like one corner of that March Madness bracket. It should be 1 through 16, and they square off. And instead of going to the Final Four, whoever wins the, you know, that corner of the bracket, in this example, wins the national championship. And that's it. It's plain and simple for me. I want to chat about this whole situation with, because this is really what it comes down to. You know, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Miami, Alabama. Those are teams that are really, for me, in the mix of who's really going to be deserving of one of these last spots. And Lane Kiffin retweeted something today, and I'm going to read it real quick, and I want to hear your thoughts. South Carolina, All right, we're talking Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina. South Carolina lost to both of them, and their best win is against Clemson. Ole Miss and Alabama, best win is against Georgia. Georgia beat Clemson 34-3. Safe to say that South Carolina is out, and it's between Ole Miss and Alabama. Ole Miss has 9 wins, outscoring opponents 390-94. That's plus 296 points. Alabama has 9 wins, outscoring their opponents 371-119. That's plus 252. So Ole Miss in a better situation there. In the 3 losses, Ole Miss was outscored 73-60. That's a negative 13-point differential. In the 3 losses Alabama had, they were outscored 88-55, minus 33-point differential. Common opponents, both beat Georgia. Rebels won by 18, Bama won by 7. Both beat South Carolina. Rebels won by 24, Bama won by 2. Alabama beat LSU by 29. Ole Miss lost to LSU by 3 in overtime. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma by 12, however, who Alabama lost to by 21. So when you look at it like that, and those are all facts, none of what I just said is opinion-based. Those are raw numbers. Is Ole Miss more deserving than Alabama in terms of finalizing one of these last spots? And is South Carolina really for you with 3 losses in the conversation?
So to answer that last question, Tyler, I don't believe South Carolina's in the conversation. And I'll tell you why. I know the committee feels the exact same way. The committee honors head-to-head matchups. If two teams play each other with the same record and one team comes out on top, under no circumstance, and you can take this to the bank, Tyler, under no circumstance will the losing team ever be ranked ahead of a team that they lost to with the same record. So I understand why they're getting talked about in the mix, and the AP poll, they don't help anything because they just, I mean, if Florida beat Oregon next week, Florida would be in the top 10 with 5 losses. So the AP poll will rank anyone anywhere. So the playoff poll will not have South Carolina ahead of Ole Miss, and they will not have them ahead of Alabama because South Carolina lost. Having said that, they look awesome. I understand why they're getting some love, and there is justice in that. The question is Alabama or Ole Miss? And everything you said is a fact, Tyler. There's no way you can deliberate that. You can look at non-conference schedule. You can look at momentum shifts. You can look at the fact that both teams have really struggled in close games. But Alabama and Ole Miss both have shown that if they're going to win, they're going to blow you out. Really, Alabama has, you know, they skated by Georgia initially. They sort of rode their home field advantage, in my opinion. I think you're better off placing your bets. If you're going to take the 12 best teams that have the most potential to compete for a title, which is why Florida State was left out, it's not on the committee to take the best teams from the regular season. It's about the best 12 teams right now that the stats can back up. I think you have to take Ole Miss. Ole Miss has shown that they can get ahead early and they can punish these teams. Ole Miss has, across the board, one of the highest-rated defenses. They've given up a little more. As of week 10, they were giving up 11.5 points per game. They've got 6 players that are projected in the first 2 rounds. That is a team you want competing in the playoff. Sure,
totally
send
agree.
Them on the road, send them somewhere cold, but Ole Miss has put up points all year. Ole Miss has lost close games. They've lost close games on the road at Florida and at LSU, 2 very tough places to play.
Yep.
And you can look at the schedule. You can look at the records. Florida right now is a top team. And so everyone that knows the sport can see that their schedule has been, their record is very misleading. Another piece is Alabama got bought by Oklahoma 3 points. You don't want a team that's putting up 3 points to an inferior opponent at all, period. So
I'm totally on
Ole Miss
board.
Deserves that final spot if it's between those 3. What do you think?
I'm completely on board as well. You know, before I read that, I would have thought it's Alabama. When you really dive into it, though, there's no way that there's any argument that I can hear that I will believe is logical other than, oh, it's Alabama, for why they should be in over Ole Miss at all. Ole Miss, for me, deserves to be in there over Alabama 100%. It's not even a question. Something else that's not a question for me at all, I'm assuming it's not going to be for you either, is Miami's out, undoubtedly. They don't have one ranked win, and they have two losses. So, I mean, they blew it. They had to go to the conference champion game and win, and that was it. That was their only path in. For me, I don't care that they have two losses. I would put a three. Hell, I would put South Carolina in over Miami if I had to pick, and I don't think I'm crazy. I'm not. Make me feel good. I'm not crazy, right? There's a 0% chance Miami is in.
Look, Tyler, I'll break it down to you like this. I'm with you. I am 100% with you. Conference championships have essentially become play-ins at this point. And so these teams like Boise State, UNLV, Arizona State, Iowa State, Miami, you know, they're on the outside looking in, but they're able to play in to the playoff. And the way you fix this is you have a play-in tournament. Because the cut, so you can have seeds 13 through 20 do a play-in round that is, in effect, replacing your quote-unquote conference championship round, and those teams can play in to the final four spots in a 16-team playoff. You have the first four seeds get a bye, you do them all at large, and you go from there. But the real issue, philosophically, Tyler, is there's this cutthroat approach to college football that's been embedded in the game for decades and decades, and that has to go away. So pre-1998, you know, undefeated, you could declare yourself the title. Then in the BCS, you had the best record going to the BCS title. And then even in the CFP four-team format, two losses eliminated you. But now the landscape is very different because you've got conference expansion, you've got a round-robin scheduling format in the SEC where you're not playing the same opponents, you're rotating your opponents, and the portal has led to a serious consolidation of talent. So group of five teams will not be producing draft-eligible players. They'll all transfer, or most of which will transfer. Yeah, yeah, you'll have your few that stick around, but they're going to get big offers and they're going to leave. So even the bad teams, you know, the Vandys and the Kentuckys and the Mississippi States, those teams are still going to get real talent from the group of five level. So I think we just all need to change the narrative and understand that the best teams in the country may have three losses and they still have a shot at the title. What do you think?
I mean, there's nothing that you said that I could disagree with. I don't see how you can. I think that the approach that they've taken, although I think it was with good intention in terms of how they've changed this, it doesn't work at all. And I love the idea of kind of a play-in style tournament to kind of replace these conference championship games. Because from my understanding, what the committee has said is they won't hold a loss in a conference championship game against you. But you can if. You know, for example, like a team like Boise State, if they win, they're in. But you know, they're not going to hold a loss against you. Now, let's just like for example, look at this Clemson SMU game. If SMU loses this game, from my understanding, they're not out. They're not going to. This won't be held against them. But if Clemson wins it, they're in. Am I wrong in that? Am I misunderstanding that?
No, I mean from what we've heard, that's if SMU loses, they're being counted as an 11-1 team.
So is that not a double standard, though? If you win that game, it can go in your benefit, but if you lose it, it can't hurt you. And that's where my issue with this whole thing is. And that's why I'm kind of sitting here thinking to myself, well, this just doesn't make sense. How can you have a team lose and not be punished, but if a team wins, they can be rewarded? And that's where what you're saying about this whole play-in style tournament, it starts to make more sense. And to be honest, I would be cool with if they just said, wherever you end, at the end, the conference championships can be weighed into it. 1 through 16, that's the playoff. If you are 17, right now I'm looking on ESPN, BYU is 17, you are out. Iowa State is 16, you are in. It's black and white for me. I think that's how it has to be done because right now I think the one common thing that is shared, the common opinion is this is flawed. Because it doesn't make any sense, and a lot of people aren't happy about it. But I am happy that a team like SMU will be in it. I think that's very cool. I think it's something. It's very refreshing for college football. We're very used to seeing these. It's just pretty much the same four or five teams in it every year, and that's that. But Nick Douglas, thank you so much for your time. It is a pleasure to speak with you always about college football and more. Coming up next, 2 minute drill here on Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. We will be right back.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Time for the two-minute drill. I'm going to hop over the pond and chat a little English Premier League soccer, which we talk 5 Eastern on First Touch, my show with my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce. Liverpool beat Manchester City 2-0. It wasn't even close. Liverpool from the get-go were all over them. Cody Gakpo scored 12 minutes in with Mo Salah adding a penalty in the 78th. Mo Salah missed a couple other wide-open chances as well, which is not very normal for him. But Liverpool have extended their lead at the top of the table to 11 points. And as of this morning, December 2nd, that is massive. They are running away with the league. They're undefeated in Champions League play. As a Manchester United fan, it breaks my heart. But I feel a little bit better because Manchester City are completely imploding with an aging roster, injuries left and right. Things are not looking good on the blue side of Manchester. However, on the red side of Manchester, Ruben Amorim in his first Premier League game at home for Manchester United. United smoke Everton 4-0 with goals from Marcus Rashford and Joshua Zirkzee, 2 each. Amad Diallo, can't say enough about this young player. From the Ivory Coast, playing right wing back, he's just been unbelievable. His effort, his level of play, he had 2 assists in this game as well. Could have had a goal, kind of a fluke the shot, but a great win for Manchester United. They're up to 9th and only 4 points off the top 4, which is unbelievable after the start to the season that they had. Nottingham Forest beat Ipswich 1-0. A whole lot more went down in the Premier League as well, as Chelsea beating Aston Villa 3-0. Cole Palmer scored a goal, Nicholas Jackson, and Enzo Fernandez. So we'll dive more into that Friday on First Touch. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Monday. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you guys here on Sports Overnight America on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I will see you guys tomorrow back with Marty Terrell, chatting everything that's going on Monday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow here on Sports Overnight America.